Let's go to number three. Third proof that God loves us. Number three, He gave us a capacity for pleasure. I love this one. Because again, I just, you know, as a father, that's what I want to do. You know, I know that life isn't about being happy. That's not our goal for our kids. Our goal is to make them productive, godly men who have godly character. It's not about making them happy. You know, if your goal is to make your kid happy, your trajectory is going to be way off by the time they're 19 years old. You're not going to be happy with the result of trying to make your kid happy. But if your goal is to make them godly and have godly character and have wisdom, then you'll be happy about that. And they will too. But we have a father, and I know deep inside me, you know, I was bummed out that I didn't get that toy. I'll just tell you what it was. Those airsoft rifles, you know. They're kind of the hot thing lately. I was bummed out we didn't get that because I wanted one. And I wanted my kids to, and I knew how much they wanted them. And God's the same way. Listen, He created us to enjoy life. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 6. God richly provides us with everything for what? For our enjoyment. Say it with me. For our enjoyment. That is honestly the God that we serve. I hope you understand that. That we have a God who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. God is not some old geezer up in heaven that just, you know, just kind of just wants you to be miserable. You know, He's not a fun hater. He doesn't just look down and see you having fun and go, oh, no, we can't do that. Thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt not do that either. Because that's too much fun. That's not the God, that's not the way I am with my kids. I got to hold myself back because I know it's not good for me to let them have everything they want. We got to hold ourselves back and help them have self-control and patience because I want to give it to them. That's my heart as a father, but how much more so is God's heart? You know, He gave us a capacity for pleasure. I just think of things like this. If you think about the fact that He gave us eyes to see, you know, He didn't have to do that. You know, there's a lot of animals that have the monochrome, you know, the black and white view, I guess, or, you know, like in the ocean. There's no necessary need to have color to see things like this. Isn't that something? Somebody sent me that this week. It's like God just spilled his painting kit, you know, just went boosh, all over these mountains. Or to see, whoops, don't look at that. Yeah, you don't want to see that. You know, colors, God just, it's amazing that we can see and differentiate different colors. Again, it's pleasurable. There's something about it. God didn't have to do that, but it brings us pleasure to be able to see colors with our eyes or our sounds, you know, to listen to music, to listen to birds sing. You know, when you're at the ocean, just to sit in a cot with a tent thing and just listen to the waves coming over and pounding on the rocks, you know, it just doesn't get any better than that. Just do it for a whole afternoon. It just chills you out just to hear that. God gave us that ability, do you understand that, to hear so that we could gain pleasure from it, so we could listen to Steel and his band play tonight. And by the way, speaking of that, Steel has been in the studio for about a month now, and he's almost done with their new worship album. Just a quick plug, we're going to have that first of December 10th is going to be when it's going to be ready to purchase. We'll have pre-purchases for Christmas presents, but it's going to be amazing. I mean, 16 songs he put on this thing. And you wrote them all. Is that right? Still wrote them. It's going to be amazing. Some of them that were played tonight. It's amazing. And so God gave us the ability to hear stuff like that. Because he loves us, I think. You know, it could be like the cats. You know, this is what I like this far. Just read it. You'll get it. We could be like this, you know. What cats hear. They don't hear anything, you know. It could be that true of us too, you know. Or we could hear muffled noises or whatever. But God didn't make it that way. We can hear beautiful sounds. And it brings us pleasure, doesn't it? Doesn't it? How about our taste buds, you know? I mean, just think of the food. I just think, you know, there's lots of different food. Whoops, that's not it. Uh-oh, we got food mixed up here. Think of cinnamon rolls, my wife's hot cinnamon rolls. You know, I'm so spoiled. Our kids, I keep telling my kids, we are so spoiled with our with your mom and my wife because she just loves to bake. We get fresh baked stuff. She's got to hold back because she would just, you know, I would love to free her just to be a baker because she loves and she's so good at it. But the fresh baked stuff, we smell, you know, you think of fresh fruit, big bowl of fresh fruit. You think of the taste buds and barbecued ribs and you know, Easter peeps, you know, and things like that, and chocolate. I mean, just things that God created for our enjoyment. You know, it's just for our enjoyment. He didn't have to make us taste those things. Honestly, he could have created it just so that, you know, we just run on fuel. He just makes these little plants that have these pills, and, you know, we just run off pills that don't have any taste. Or worse, you know, we could, you know, have a little latch somewhere, and we just pour oatmeal down our little tube, you know, and we run off that. That could be life. Or tofu, you know, I don't know. But God gave us the ability to taste amazing things because he loves us, because everything is for our pleasure. God did that. He didn't have to do that. We could subsist without taste buds. But isn't it good to be able to taste stuff? I think it is. I think it's cool that God just enjoys, like a father. I just love watching my kids when they enjoy stuff. Like, here's the picture. Jonathan had his 7th year birthday party this week, Monday. We had our Sunday, we had a party for him. And he had all his friends there. And it's just so cool to see. As a parent, it's just fun to watch our kids just relish in life and to be the center of a party. You know, it just doesn't get much better than that. To have all your friends around you and eating cake and ice cream and playing games. And I just, as a parent, love to watch that, to be a part of that. God loves watching us. He just enjoys giving to us. This is my favorite picture. I've shown it before, of Nathan Porter. Now, this was a long time ago, a few years ago, at Joseph's birthday party. Nathan was there. But I just want to ask you, which kid at this birthday party was giving the gift and which one was receiving the gift? If you look real carefully, my son, it's his birthday. Nathan gave him the gift. Nathan was excited about my son opening his gift. To me, this picture, it always just speaks to me of how God must feel when he gives us. God just loves to give us. He loves for us to have pleasure. Not to be hedonistic, but he's a father that loves to give. And we can have the wrong impression about God that he's a stooge and he's stingy and he just wants to withhold. And it's not true. If Nathan Porter, deep inside him, is so excited to give, how much more, God, to give to you what's good? To give you what you need? Man, God is good, isn't he? It is good. And the world had... Oh, there's the food. It's in the wrong place. I don't know if we can get our last point here. Maybe we can. Yes, the world has sold us a lie. They have sold us a lie that it's more fun to not be a Christian than it is to be a Christian. That they tell us to go out and find love in all the wrong places. You know, and people I know... Even Christians that think that, man, I think I could find life out there in the singles bars or in the party scene. And you know what? It is not there, folks. I'll just let you know that. I've had enough time doing that. I've talked to enough people that have come out of that just to tell you, just give it up. You ain't going to find life there. Well, certainly you're not going to find it in church, are you? I mean, that's what people will tell you. But they sold you a bill of goods because where you want to be is where God is blessing, where God can give to you what's good. Instead of trying to find it out from underneath God's umbrella of his blessing, trying to find it on your own, you won't find it. It'll leave you empty. And you'll look for it, and you'll look for it, and it's very elusive, and it'll be very frustrating, but you think it's got to be out there. It certainly cannot be in church. I mean, which is more fun? I mean, Miller time or church conference time? I mean, really? Who wants to go to a church conference when there's a party over there? Well, I do. I mean, it's not that I'm not about party. I mean, I'll party with the best of them. But you know what? I know where blessing is. I know where true life is found. That's the difference. Where satisfaction is found. It's not in Miller. It's in living the Christian life and allowing God to bless me. Being inside his blessing. That's where true life is found. You know, I always love this ad, Chevrolet, quiet as a church. Well, they must not have been here tonight when Steel was rocking out. This is not about the rock church. Life is found right in the middle of God's will. That's where true life, satisfaction, is found. When you find God's plan, life makes sense. And this is what I think. I think, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that say, well, but I really want to do this. I think I can find life over here, and I don't know if I can find it with God. Well, I just want to tell you something. If you give God a chance, He will change your want-tos. I want to find happiness in having sex with a bunch of women or a bunch of men. You know, He'll change your want-to. I want to find happiness in drugs or whatever I'm doing. God will change your want-tos, your desires. He'll change that for you so that you will want to be satisfied by the one that can satisfy you. He'll change you. You'll think, because you can't even comprehend that. There's people out there partying tonight that should be here tonight. And they can't comprehend that this would be better than that. It's because they've never tried it. They've never given God a shot to fill them, to fill that void that's deep inside. God knows you better than anybody, and He created you and loves giving to you. He loves giving you pleasure, but we never let Him do it. We run off and try to do it ourselves, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It wrecks marriages. It wrecks relationships. It does a lot of bad stuff. But it's empty. Here's a fourth reason I say that I can tell you God loves you. Because He has good plans for your life. He has good plans for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, this is one of my life verses. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. There it is. Let me go back. Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans. That's good to know too, isn't it? It's not good to know if you don't understand God's love. And what I mean by that is this. If God is just this huge, powerful guy out there and He's not very nice and he's kind of like my dad who is abusive or whatever, if that's who God is, then I don't want His plans. It's not good news for me to know that He has got plans for my life. Only if you know God is good and God loves you, then all of a sudden you go, and He's got good plans for me? Oh, okay. I can live with that. That is cool. God loves you and He has good plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But Bill, I've been harmed. You know, I've had a hard life. Well, welcome to the club. Life is hard. But God's plans for you are good. Even if you don't get the airsoft gun on eBay, God has plans for you. Good plans. If you'll just trust Him for them. Doesn't mean you're going to hit the jackpot and have $1 million and all your health problems are going to go away. No, but God is good and He has good plans for you. That doesn't change. God loves us. And God knows what's going to make us happy. He knows what's going to give us joy. I like this. Quote, the Bible has never been tried and found wanting, but it has been found difficult and not tried. The owner's manual is right here, baby. He knows what's going to satisfy you. He knows how to fill that void. We got to get into it. God made us for a purpose. He made us for a purpose. What He wants is your attention. What He wants is you to look up to Him and understand that it's no accident that you're right where you're at, that you're out here tonight. It's no accident. God has made you for a purpose. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and live life to its fullest. And I believe that unless you're following God's plan, you're not living, you're just existing. It's just an existence to get up in the morning, have your coffee, get out the door, go to work, put in your time, come back home, eat dinner, watch some TV, go to bed, get up in the morning. Why are you doing all that? Why do you go to sleep at night? Well, so I can be rested so I can go to work. And why do you have breakfast? So I can have strength so I can go to work, make some money. And why do you want to make money? So I can, you know, have a house so I can rest so that I can go to work and make more money. And it just kind of continues on and on and on and on. If you don't understand that God has a purpose for your life, that you exist here for a reason, that God has a tremendous plan for your life, then it all just seems empty and futile. And honestly, it is empty and it is futile. In the long run. Number five, fifth proof that God loves us, he sent Christ to die for us. Isn't that a proof that God loves us? Matter of fact, we can call it the ultimate proof, the cross. The cross. Greater love has no one than this, that he that lays down his life for his friend. There's no greater love than someone lays down their life for their friend. Romans 5:8 says, God proves his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That Christ died for us. You know, reading, you know, remember that Titanic display that was downtown, that wherever it was, I can't remember what building. We went down and looked at it. It's kind of interesting reading some of the stories, even from the books on Titanic. It's very fascinating to hear some of the stories and some of the true heroes that were on that ship, and the ones that really break your heart, you know, the fathers that were putting their wives and their children on the boat, knowing that they weren't going to go with, laying their life down for their family. That's what God did for us. It shows that he loves us. You should never have to doubt the fact that God loves you, because he demonstrated for you that he loves you. That should never be a doubt. There should never be a question, does God love me? It should be solid. It should be a strong bucket of faith in your life, a foundational platform for you to live life, that God loves me. I'm never going to doubt that. I don't care how bad my circumstances are. I don't care how sucky life gets. God loves me. He cares for me, and that's not going to change. He died for me. Oh God, I can't believe you did that. That Katrina thing that you just wiped out. You must not be very loving. He died for you. How can you even think that? That'd be like blaming it on me. Bill, I can't believe that you caused that Katrina thing. What are you talking about? I love those people. I wouldn't do that. You know, life stinks. Sin messes things up. This is not a perfect world, is it? But does that change God's love? It does not. God's love remains the same because he demonstrated to you and I. Last point, before we get to enjoy the pleasure of pizza, is that God forgives us when we ask him. That shows us that he loves us. Because the problem is that sin keeps people from God, doesn't it? Sin keeps people from God. I've had some great conversations the last two Saturday nights. Just on the outside, I usually head right back to the smoking section outside the building and go talk with people. The last two Saturday nights, God has, to my joy, provided some opportunities for me just to share the gospel with two different occasions, two different young men, and was able to ask them these questions, you know, about their relationship with Christ. And one of them claimed to be a Christian, but I asked him, now how do you know for sure you're going to heaven then? What makes you different from the people that are going to go to hell? What's the difference? Why do some go to heaven and some go to hell? And he went, I don't know. And I looked at him and said, oh, my friend, I got to tell you something. I don't think you're a Christian then. But he'd been brought up in a church, a Christian church, and he had the Christian lingo. And I said, I think you're going to hell. I told him that right to his face. I said it very nicely, but I told him, I think you're going to hell. And I said this. I said, I love you too much to let you go to hell. I need to share something with you. Jesus had a plan for you. And I shared the gospel. And he kept saying, well, how can I get right with God? I said, I'm getting to it. And I shared with him about how he had sinned and was separated. And he said, how can I get it right? I'm getting to it. And I shared with him how Jesus came down. He loves you to pay the penalty for you, substituted himself so that you wouldn't have to go to hell forever. I said, would you like to pray and receive Christ in your heart? And we did right there. Two weekends in a row, two different guys just prayed, received Christ. But do you see, he forgives us when we ask him. And that's the very cool thing, is that just right out here, just some young men that are lost and thought they were going to heaven, thought they were Christians, and they had no clue about Christ. No clue as to why they're going to heaven. But when they ask him, he comes in. And some of them were saying, you know, but I've done such wrong stuff. One of the guys had just gotten out of jail. You know? So he kind of knew he was bad, you know? Although I asked him, do you think you're a good person? He said, oh yeah, I'm really good. And I'm thinking, you just got out of jail. You know? It's amazing. Point is this. God says this, with deep love. Well, I didn't read this one. Yes, all have sinned. Yet now, this is the Living Bible, yet now God declares us not guilty if we trust in Christ who freely takes away our sins. So I just want to end. Thought about this, you know, if you've drifted from God, if you're not 100% confident, if you doubt God's love, you know what? Here's a verse for you. God says, with deep love, I will take you back. Isn't that good? You kind of have fallen away from God for whatever reason. You think, God, maybe God doesn't love me. Why not come back to Him tonight and say, God, I'm going to believe this. With deep love, you take me back right now. I don't care what you felt like, what you've done. God says, listen, I love you, and I will take you back right now. With deep love, I take you back. God loves you and accepts you right where you're at. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we just thank you tonight for your amazing love. We thank you that knowing your love really does help us make sense out of this life and allows us to enjoy it to the fullest. Thank you that we don't have to be lonely, we don't have to be depressed, we don't have to be dejected or unloved or feel like no one cares because we know you do. You demonstrated your love for us. You made us. You notice every single detail of our lives. You gave us the capacity for pleasure. God, I believe you have a good plan for us. We know that Christ died for us to show us his love. And when we ask you to forgive us, and when we come back to you and say, God, receive us, you say, with deep love, I will welcome you back. Help us to know and rely on the love that you have for us. For it's in your name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Let's stand up and we'll sing.